You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, is that the dude with the porn thing?
He was the special. He was the special teams coordinator. 2010, they fired him.
I think that was after the. I don't think that was a situation where he got fired, Chris.
The actual headline on the NFL.com website: Steelers fire coordinator Ligashevsky after poor special teams play.
Interesting. But maybe that is one, because then that would be four. But the person pointed out to me three, and they did not have that name on it. So you're going to have to look into that one. Because obviously when a guy, like, I'm sure you could find headlines that say Randy Fichtner was fired. But we know he wasn't actually fired. He just didn't have his contract renewed. So maybe that is one that slipped through the cracks. If I'm wrong about this, or the person that gave me this stat is wrong, well, then that would be four and 18
years.
There's even
a Jerry column or a Jerry write-up in the Post-Gazette, January 8th, 2010.
Okay. 2010. Okay, so after the 2009 season. Okay, so that was for the porn thing?
Yeah. It says special teams coordinator Bob Ligashevsky, a McKees Rocks native, became the second assistant in as many days to be dismissed,
right,
joining offensive line coach Larry Zierlein.
Yep. Okay, so there's the other one. That's three. So those are the three then?
They didn't give you names to the other ones?
No.
Canada would be the other one, obviously. I think I've got them there.
So both of those were after the 2009 season.
One of them you can make a reasonable statement was for something who could possibly have foreseen that was going
to
happen.
A porn email to the entire league.
I mean, do we safely say he probably doesn't get fired if that email doesn't get sent? Right? I mean, that seems pretty obvious.
I guess
obvious.
I could text his son, who now works for the NFL and does a lot of their draft stuff. That's three guys in 18 years. Like, the Eagles, after they make the playoffs, fire both of their coordinators. We've gone over that a million times in the last few weeks, now that Philadelphia has won a Super Bowl. They won't even fire assistant coaches.
Who do you think's the most responsible?
Well, but that's a great question, but I just want to go back to this.
Once every 6 years, on average, they will fire an assistant
coach. But I just want to go back to what's happening now, mm-hmm. And that is the only guys leaving are the ones who seem to actually be in demand. They lost Curry because he saw, basically what I heard was greener pastures, like, there's no upward mobility here, he doesn't think.
I'll go to the Jets, literally and figuratively greener.
I could actually, potentially, run a defense there one day. If you're a guy that is aspiring to be a head coach and a defensive play caller, you're not going to get that chance here.
Mike's doing it.
So that's why I heard he left.
Okay.
And then the Brown thing, Jeff will come on in a little bit. Like, he was the only assistant coach other than Arthur Smith who teams reached out to interview for a better job. And you replace him, and then you say he's a part of your turnover culture. That's his extra job. How many teams forced more turnovers than the Steelers this year?
Not many. Steelers turnover stat. They had the most turnovers forced. They had 33. On Football Reference, they are listed as having forced 33 turnovers.
So we just played a clip where the coach said he heads up our turnover culture.
Mm-hmm.
They were the best team at the NFL at forcing turnovers.
They were.
And he's the guy that doesn't have his contract renewed.
Correct.
Make that make sense.
Doesn't.
What's going on here?
What's worse? They don't renew his deal because they think he didn't do a good job? Because obviously if he's running the secondary, there were secondary miscommunications late in the year that would reflect back on him.
Sure.
Or does he say, I think it's way more troubling, Pony, if he says, I just don't want to be here anymore. Like, I don't like the way, like, the water's starting to turn here. The smell is turning here. Because hear me out. If they don't renew the deal, you can at least make the argument. It wouldn't hold up because you're just hiring a guy that you had leave for one season to go to the Raiders and then come back here, right? In Alexander, because he was with the Steelers prior.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you could try to squint and make the case. They actually are holding guys to a higher standard. They're not going to settle for something that they're not happy with. He helped them as the turnover culture guy. They forced more turnovers, but they ultimately were so unhappy with other aspects of the job, they didn't want to renew his deal. That would be better to me and more palatable than this guy. They go to the table. They say, Grady, we'd love to have you back. He goes, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore.
For the record, I don't think that's what happened. I think they felt like this guy from the Raiders became available because of the coaching changes there.
And was Tomlin, a better option.
And Tomlin thinks this guy's a better option.
To be very clear, that means that in their eyes, Grady Brown went from up-and-coming, high-rising star to, hey, there's a guy from the Raiders that we'd rather have back here.
And he's available, and Brown's contract has expired, so we're not paying him not to work, basically.
I mean, I always wonder, and I have no evidence, so don't say that I'm saying this definitely happened, but I always wonder in situations like this, did Grady Brown, as he accrued more maybe influence, tenure within the organization, is he starting to disagree with the rest of the coaching staff or with Tomlin in meetings? Like, is he starting to kind of spread his wings and it's not going over well?
Let me offer another hypothetical. Did he want more money?
Hell
and
no,
they Tomlin
said.
Thought to himself, well, I'm not going to be able to get him more money, and I can find a guy that can do a reasonable impression of his job who was just here a year ago. And I can get him cheaper.
Well, then that would be technically, if Mike knows I can't get him more money, that's an Art Rooney problem.
Right.
To be very clear about this. Either way, it's just, I mean, again, you know, I got very mad about an hour ago and ripped into the team. Either way, all of this is the same offshoot of, we're sitting here discussing, is it Mike's fault? Did this guy want to leave? Did Mike think he wasn't doing a good job? Did Art not want to pay him more? And so they just decided to go another direction. No option here really is good.
I mean, if I told you two coaches were going to get basically shown the door this offseason.
Pat Meyer would be one.
And Pat Meyer and Terrell Austin were the two names that were basically, these are our scapegoats. These are the two guys that we're pinning.
I would have said makes sense.
Yeah, and I think I still would have felt like your biggest problem is still your head coach.
I actually had somebody tell me yesterday, kind of opine that they felt like this was the year that Terrell Austin had more actual agency than maybe ever before. But even so, yes, you'd say you're still your biggest issue is that your head coach is still overseeing
right,
all
so
of this.
If you but from a optic standpoint, you get rid of the coordinator who presided over an underachieving defense, especially at the end of the year. And a coach who presided over the unit that didn't live up to its billing. That happens. I don't think that fans here are thrilled, but okay, there's years left on their contracts. They're paying these guys to go away. Maybe they're actually going to hire a defensive coordinator who is going to, like, I don't think entirely would be allowed to do his job, but okay, they're going to get a bigger name in here. There's defensive coordinators that have lost jobs because the head coach they work for was fired, or maybe a head coach who was a defensive coordinator who got fired who's now going to go back to being an assistant just like Arthur Smith did here on the offensive side of the ball. Something like that. Instead, their two coaching changes are guys who were at least perceived to be like up-and-comers and high-risers. Yes.
The kind of guys you would hope you could fill the coaching staff with at every place that there's an availability.
Like, one of the biggest gripes, and I've heard Steelers media say this, is Mike surrounds himself with old coaches.
Right.
They hire old guys.
He's comfortable around older coaches. Which I think is actually a fair critique of him.
And the two guys that leave
are sensational. They're young. They're young coaches. Younger. Aaron Curry's what, like mid-30s? When he was at Wake Forest as a player, I think it was not that long after I got out of college.
Early 2010s? Draft?
Yeah, okay. So he's like 36, 37. That is a young coach still, for sure.
I mean, Donnie, do you think this is a big deal, what we're talking about here? The two guys who actually leave, the two coaching changes that they make, and the fact that they're just an organization that refuses to fire assistant coaches, only 3 in 18 years.
I mean, the number's just laughably low. 3 guys in 18 years, and it was unprecedented last year when Canada got fired midway through the season. Like, it was a legitimate shock for everybody that they fired the guy. Like, things that teams do pretty often, I'd say, around the NFL, fairly often, when something clearly is not working with one of their coaches or coordinators, they are moved on from. The Steelers do it, and it was like the world stopped for a few minutes. And all they did was fire a bad offensive coordinator that should have never been there in the first place.
And I don't know how good Grady Brown and Aaron Curry actually were at their jobs. It's more about why.
I know Grady Brown had a defensive coordinator interview, like you said.
It's more about while they were doing the jobs, how quick the organization was to tell media how good those guys were. These dudes are special. They're future defensive coordinators in waiting. They're possibly future head coaches, especially Brown. And then in this offseason where Tomlin promised changes from the top down because they blew it in the playoffs again, the guys they labeled great young coaches are out.
Just remember, though, if you're the one that, you know, if you're like sounding the alarm about this, I think it's pretty obvious the organization, they won't ever say it in so many words. They think you're the dumb ones.
Segment is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. Their fan beer of the month is the Granddaddy by Dough Daddy Brewing, benefiting Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. It's time for the Hawk Report with Jeff Hathorn. 93.7thefan.com. Jeff, I was just telling Chris, you know, I was out yesterday. I did have some diarrhea, I'm not going to lie. I just feel like what's happened with the Steelers coaching staff has not been discussed enough. Basically, the two guys who, when Chris and I would say stuff like, Tomlin has no coaching tree, they only hire old fogey coaches, the two guys I would have Steelers people text me and say, well, you've got it wrong, these two dudes are high risers and up-and-comers, have both left their coaching staff this year. The only ones.
Yeah.
How is that not a big deal? They promised change. The only guys that left are the guys that seemingly other teams want, I guess other than Arthur Smith. But on defense.
I think coordinators get the headlines. I mean, position coaches, most of the time, unless it's a quarterback's coach, don't get the headlines. It's defensive backs coach isn't on the radar. Neither is inside linebackers.
I know,
coach.
But they acted like they were grooming these guys to be potentially coordinators and head coaches in the NFL one day, Jeff.
No, and it's fair. And it's a question of, is it Tomlin in the system? Is it the pay that they're getting with the Steelers compared to what they can make at other teams as an assistant coach? Is it the opportunity to advance? Maybe not seeing chances to become a coordinator with the Steelers because they have done that a little bit on the offensive side, but not as much on the defensive side other than Keith Butler. So, I agree with you. It is intriguing because, you know, Grady was a guy that was talked of fairly highly. And listen, AC was someone that those middle linebackers really liked.
I mean, Jeff, almost whatever the reason, you listed a bunch of potential reasons why it would happen. Like, none of it reflects well on the Steelers. The head coach wants control of the defense, so guys feel blocked here. That limits your pool of people who want to come and coach for you because they know there's a ceiling. If, say, Mike had designs on, yes, Grady, you're going to get more more on your plate, and this is going to continue for you in a certain direction. And Grady said, I want more money. And Mike said, I can't give you that because Art won't authorize it. That's a problem. Like, the broad picture here is, for me, what is really bad, regardless of the reason, they're not retaining the coaches that they would have suggested to us they really wanted to retain.
Right. And, you know, sometimes what does factor into this are relationships with other coaches as reasons that they leave. But there was nothing obvious between the last couple of, okay, this is, I mean, maybe there's some tertiary relationships, but nothing that's like, oh, wow, okay, played for this guy, or they were teammates somewhere. There wasn't anything that pointed in that direction, that's for sure.
Jeff, Bill Cowher said the Steelers will talk about Aaron Rodgers. And he also said, let's not get it twisted, this team feels like it can win in 2025 because they've got veteran players on defense like TJ Watt and Cam Hayward. So do you think, if in these internal discussions they deem that Aaron Rodgers right now is a better quarterback than Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, they would actually pursue it?
I think they would talk about it. I think Bill's right. I mean, listen, in the time I've covered the Steelers, and it's been a little while, I can't think of one year that they went in and thought, or one offseason where they thought, we can't win the next year. I mean, they believe that, and there's good. It's good to have confidence. I don't think they see it as much as we do from the question mark standpoint. I mean, they look at it, like you said, like Bill said, they look at TJ, they look at Cam, they look at Minka, they look at some of the younger players on the defensive side and say, we could find a way. We're a player or two away from making this happen.
So how far-fetched is it to believe that they might come to the conclusion that Rodgers is better than both of those guys?
Yeah, listen, I hate it. I hate the thought of it. But would they entertain it? Absolutely. Yes, they would entertain it. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Would they talk about it? Yes. Well, what Aaron would want, you talk about guys you could bring in that could be issues. You know how much Tomlin hates when anybody talks to the media. Think all the times with Ben, when Aaron goes on Pat McAfee's show during the season and says stuff like none of that makes sense to me. But would they talk about him because they feel like they're maybe an Aaron Rodgers away from advancing or being a playoff winning team or whatever it is? Yes.
I consulted with a now good friend of mine, Joe Rogan.
Maybe he can get through to George Pickens if they bring him in. They can go on one of those 4-day darkness retreats or do therapeutic vomiting, Jeff. I would be doing vomiting, not of the therapeutic kind, if I had to watch Aaron Rodgers quarterback this team all
it's
next
four
year.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
How far do you think they are from being a serious contender? Like, they clearly think they can win. I mean, how far do you think they are?
I mean, I'll compare it to the Philly model. If you think the Philly model is what wins, and obviously they won this year, they are still not there in offensive line. They're not there in receivers. They're not there in running backs. They're not there in quarterback.
What about defensive line?
Not their defensive line.
They're also not there on corners because Philly has more good corners than they do.
And, I mean, look, let's take those back.
They got the kicker, though. Jeff, they got him at kicker. They definitely got him at kicker.
And probably have him at tight end.
Probably have him at punter, too, because I think Philly's punter forgot how to do his job. He doesn't ever have to.
But when you're only rushing four, those back seven look really good. When you can get that kind of pressure with four, it's crazy what those back seven will look like.
Jeff, Jerry Dulac told Travis Ishikawa in his post-Gazette chat today that it's realistic that the Steelers could sign Najee Harris to a 3-year, $18 million extension. And the thing I said to Chris on it was, Tomlin did strike the tone at his season-ending press conference of someone who was still a huge fan of Najee Harris and still believed that the guy was a really good football player.
I have thought all along that there is going to be a departure from Najee Harris. Jerry obviously is very plugged in. I don't see the advantage of bringing in Najee Harris for $6 million. I mean, you see what he is. The guy's he's steady. He plays every game, but he doesn't give you that burst. I mean, I don't see what they would have seen in him that he could be a difference maker for their offense. I just don't. I mean, I don't know what kind of offers he's going to have. I don't know if he would accept $6 million a year. I mean, he might be thinking he's worth more. Remember, he was a big proponent of the Saquon train a couple of years ago about how underpaid running backs are. So, I mean, is that a potential? I guess. I just don't see the benefit in bringing back Najee Harris other than, okay, but what's 1,000 yards in 17 games?
Not that impressive when you're not very efficient. Do you think they're a serious player or contender for Deebo Samuel?
I think they'll be a player. I think seriousness would be how far could they get down the road of talking long term, because you don't want to bring in a Deebo and then have to then sign him after you bring him in. So could they be they recognize they need help at that position. So for that reason, yes, they could be a player for Deebo Samuel. And, you know, as we all know, they've been players for other big name wide receivers. They just haven't been able to land them yet.
Well, they keep getting stuck at the goal line. Adams, Kupp, or Deebo, who do you think is the most realistic of those three?
Well, I mean, if Aaron comes here, which I don't think will happen, then it's Adams. I would say Kupp, because he has the fewest questions.
Wait, the fewest questions in what way? I think Kupp's got a big question. I don't think he can get open outside of his very good scheme in LA. Like, I was
talking more intangibles or any of that stuff.
He's a very hard worker.
That's why.
He's shifty too.
Yes.
High football IQ. Yeah. Deceptively quick still.
Yes. Yes. It's interesting because you look at the wide receivers, and like the one guy that's intriguing to me, if you're going to go cheaper, is like a Darius Slayton, because he seems to cover a lot of
speaking his language.
Yeah, because he covers a lot of territory. I mean, he's fast. He's a good guy all around, and he's played with crappy quarterbacks. So I think those numbers.
He'll be right at home here in Pittsburgh.
That could be the basement.
Jeff, thank you for another Hawk Report.
Thanks, boys.
Judge Donnie's court is now in session at 5:30. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610.
Already risen. You guys do such a good job.
Thank you, Your Honor. It's easy today's, in your courtroom.
Today's case, the over-under win total of the Pittsburgh Pirates, set at 76.5 wins.
Counselor Mueller, I presume, will be arguing for the under, and I'll do the over.
Okay.
I didn't have my notes with me. I didn't know whose side who was on. So let's get this baby underway.
I will cede the floor over to Counselor Mueller.
Thank you, Counselor, and Your Honor, it's always a pleasure to be in your courtroom. Here I go. Sometimes people will say that bad process actually can still yield good results, that a team, despite maybe not doing their best, trying their hardest, making the moves that people on the outside would want them to make, can still yield a positive result. People might even be more inclined to say that with a guy like Paul Skeens heading up a rotation that has some young arms to be excited about. I'm not one of those people. This team's process was completely atrocious this offseason, and I think it's going to yield results that are even worse than last year's 76-86 mark, which might deep six any remaining optimism or flickers of hope that might exist in this fan base. Spencer Horwitz is going to be out until at least mid-April. He suffered a wrist injury. It might involve, who knows, a thumb. Who knows? That's the power arm for a left-handed bat. It's the right hand. I don't think that there's any reason to believe Spencer Horwitz, their prized offseason acquisition, is going to be a regular version of himself until possibly months later. That's one strike. I have big misgivings about this team's ability to put together a good bullpen after that bullpen was a major leaking point in last year's team. That's strike two. And then, frankly, I have major concerns with the utter lack of depth that they've added, quality personnel that they've added, that their one injury, even just a four-week injury from Paul Skeens away, from floundering. There's no guarantees that Bubba Chandler is going to come up and be a stud when he's here. There's no guarantees that Jared Jones is necessarily going to make a leap from his first season. There's no guarantee that Mitch Keller is going to be the pitcher the Pirates believe him to be. The only guarantee, the only thing we know for sure, is that this team had seemingly a mandate to improve itself in the offseason and spent a whopping $10 million on outside players to do so. They will finish with under 76 wins.
Mr. Filippone.
Let me first address what Counselor Mueller said there about Spencer Horwitz. He made, and a jury might be susceptible to the persuasive nature of Mr. Mueller, Counselor Mueller's rhetoric, but we're not dealing with 12 jury of our peers. We're dealing with the venerable Judge Donnie, and I know you, Your Honor, will not be fall victim to this. The man's talking about Spencer Horwitz as if that's going to make a dent in the Pirates' win total for this year. The Spencer Horwitz news came out at around 11 a.m. this morning. At 10:50 this morning, the Pirates' win total was 76.5. The Pirates' win total right now is 76.5. The odds makers have not changed the line based on the injury of Spencer Horwitz. So the people that do this for a living believe that Horwitz is not that big of a loss. I heard a lot of opinion from Counselor Mueller. I heard no facts. The facts of the matter are this. The Pirates won 76 games last year. They only need to win one more game this season. Now, if Counselor Mueller believes that the Brewers are going to win 93 games again, well, then we can hear him fashion an argument for that. If he believes that the St. Louis Cardinals, who won 83 games last year and made, Your Honor, not a single free agent acquisition, not one to their team, and also lost Paul Goldschmidt to the Yankees, if he also believes that that team is going to win 83 games or more again, well, fine. Then I will give up this fight, and I will say, Counselor Mueller, congratulations. The case is yours. I don't believe either of those two things to be true, Donnie. I believe the Brewers will take a massive step backwards, and I think the Cardinals will as well. And I would much rather be making an argument for Paul Skenes making a team better than the loss of Spencer Horwitz making a team worse. The Pirates did not have Skenes for 162 games last year. He should make 30-plus starts. They should win the vast majority of those games, and that's how you win more than 76 games in 2025, Your Honor.
Closing argument, 1 minute, Mr. Mueller.
Your Honor, it took 100-plus seconds for Counselor Filippone to make an affirmative argument in favor of the Pirates, about the Pirates. The majority of his time was spent talking about what he thought other teams in the division were going to do. He can accuse me of making an opinion-based argument. I heard very few facts other than Paul Skenes will make more starts for the Pirates this year to support his argument. I think a pretty flimsy argument at that when you're relying on other teams in the division to not be as good as they were last year. The Pirates, newsflash, don't just play teams in their division. They play other teams throughout Major League Baseball, many of whom took steps to improve themselves this offseason, something that notably the Pirates did not do, nor did they show much interest in doing. Again, this is a thin team, susceptible more than most to injury because of an overall lack of ready-made talent ready to come up and help them. That is why, and it might be karma for an offseason spent twiddling their thumbs, they will not finish with 76 or more wins.
Mr. Filippone.
I think Counselor Mueller might have a future with Top Dog after some of the comments that I heard there. He is a very persuasive and articulate lawyer, but he isn't even presenting the facts of the case right in this instance. He said, I started my argument by talking about what other teams were doing. I did not, Your Honor. I merely brought up the fact that when Horwitz was injured, there was no movement to their win total for this year, thus backing up my claim that Horwitz is not the type of loss that should make Pirates fans feel like their season is in peril. By the way, he's supposed to be back in mid-April, but I'm not even going to build my closing argument around that. It's, again, a gross misrepresentation of what's actually going on here. Counselor Mueller says don't take into account the NL Central. He fails to point out you play the teams in your division, excuse me, more than you play the teams outside of your division. It is an imbalanced schedule. Those teams absolutely affect what your final record is, Your Honor.
In the case of the Pirates over under 76.5 wins, I got a side with Mr. Mueller on this one.
Yes! Are you kidding me?
You knew I could count on you, Judge. Knew I could count on you.
The boys have very, very few reasons for optimism. They got a big guy that wears number 30.
I can't believe Counselor Filippone didn't make an impassioned argument for 80-plus wins or thereabouts because of Tommy Pham starting the season in left field.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or Brian Hayes. Ow, my back. It's broken.
We will be appealing this case to a higher court.
Yeah, we control the courts, pal.
I cannot believe that you think 77 wins is optimism. That's all they got to do. 77 and 85.
I'm sure Joey Bart, their second best returning offensive player, arguably, maybe third best. I'm sure he's guaranteed to have another great year.
Your Honor, the last time we had a discussion like this with Counselor Mueller, he predicted the Penguins to make the playoffs.
Your Honor, even Counselor Mueller, myself, my bad predictions bear fruit because I will be donating $1,000 to the charity of Counselor Filippone's choice as a token display of my goodwill, my willingness to pay off bets. Counselors on our morning show could certainly learn from me. So I don't really see how that's a negative. Yes, I made a bad prediction about a hockey team. This is a completely different sport.